decided to do a little refresher. You've slept over the last couple of weeks and may possibly have forgotten what I was talking about. If you haven't, I have, so I thought maybe I should read that again. We're talking about Go Tell It, coming from Matthew 28, and we'll look at that in just a minute. Page 994 in your Pew Bible, if that's where you're reading. Go tell it. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be here worshiping with these people that you love, that we love. I thank you for your word that is so good as we read it in your spirit that helps us to understand. So I would ask that you would help us to understand. And that understanding, we would respond the way you want us to. And that we would have open hearts, open minds, and that my own words would be yours, and that you would set aside the concerns that we have for the day, for the moment, and that you'd be pleased with what you see and what you hear. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a danger in putting notes in the bulletin, and that is sometimes you get held to it. And, you know, by that I mean I stand at the back and somebody said, "Now what was that blank?" And I go, "I don't know. I'm already done." that's embarrassing. But also I do try to remember. It's not as bad as that. But if you had notes from a couple of weeks ago, you would have seen this. It says on December 3rd, we're going to do that, talking about money, when we talk about going and telling the message. You remember the Magi who came from the east, and they had some logistics concerns, not the least of which was how much is it going to cost to get there, 1,000 miles on a camel, if that's the way they came. Then we talked about the message that we share. That was for the 10th and the 17th, and today is supposed to be the method, January 7th, but if you look at your notes, that's not what it says. And so I changed it. January 7th, we're going to have one more sermon on the message. It just seems like I hadn't said enough last time. Some of you might disagree. That's all right. I'll tell you what really happened. As I was preparing for the 17th, and I'll show you this in just a minute, you know, we talked about the Christian message, and I think that's the next slide, yeah. And the Christian message, and it was this, that God has invaded his creation to buy back what belongs to him. That was the message. And on the 17th, before I was preparing to preach, I thought to myself, you know, that's not exactly right. It should be the Christmas message, not the Christian message. But, you know, once things are printed and put in the bulletin and you've said that's what you're going to say, you might ought to say it. Just teasing. And I thought, well, what would you say? And so on the 17th, on the 18th, and of course, I think it was the 18th or 19th, I've lost track of time, we got in the car and we were headed out, and I said, what is the message? And somewhere around rifle, it struck. It occurred to me what the rest of it is. And that, I mean, I'd been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, and the rest, for it to be the Christian message, there needs to be this next sentence, and he is coming back to finish his plan for creation. Now, I hope by the end of the service, you'll understand why that is so important. But in case you don't, I'm going to say a little bit now so that you catch it. I want you to see it. That there is so much in the Christian message today in Christian churches that focus on the first part, which is true. The God of love has come, and he has bought us back, and we belong to him, and that is true. That is true. But many in the Christian church lose the sense of responsibility and accountability that he's coming back, and we answer to him for who we are and what we've done. The message is not just God is love and all is well. That's not it. There's more to it. He's coming back to finish his plan. Let me explain a little bit more. You know, in this verse that's familiar to us, all authority has been given in heaven and in earth. And then that first part, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's the focus of go tell it. But this is what I remembered somewhere around Rifle, is when you look at the bottom, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what I want to focus on today, as far as the message is concerned, even to the end of the age. Well, what's the meaning of an age? An age. What is that? Well, if you look up an English word that comes from a Greek word, you come up with the word eon, or the British spelling, depending on if you're in science, is eon. What's an eon? In the Greek, that word, when he says to the end of the age, what he's saying is that to the end of the eon. So that's a word that comes directly from the Greek. Eon, what is it? Well, it's a block of time. Well, that's informative, isn't it? It's a block of time. Well, if you're a geologist, and we have some who've studied some geology around, you know that an eon, if you were taking your final exam and they said, what's an eon? You'd say, well, it's two eras. And so then you'd look it up and you'd say, well, two eras is what? And you'd say, what is an era? It's a number of periods. So a number of periods becomes an era, and two of those becomes an eon. Oh, brother, let's just leave that. If you're an astronomer, if you're an astronomer, an eon is a billion years. So if you're looking at the stars and you say that's been there for eons, that suggests several billion years. But you know, that block of time, that eon, or that block of time, that age, it has some more implications, actually. It's defined by who's involved and the importance of the events. You know, when you look at history, for instance, we would say the medieval age. Always found it interesting, wondering the people at the time, did they know they were living in the medieval age? You know? And they knew it started in whatever it was, 500, and went to 1100 AD. They said, okay, now we've moved on into Renaissance, or now we've moved on into Reformation, and now we've moved on into Enlightenment. Been reading some about Luther. I wonder if Luther knew that he was living in the time of the Reformation. That was the age. Well, always, these eons or blocks of times, these ages, the parameters are put when you're looking back. You know, I found it interesting when the millennium changed, and we didn't know what to call it. You know, we had the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and now you have the... And the commentators on the radio stumbled for a long time. You know, what? I don't know what they called it back in the 1920 or 1910. I know they called it the 20s and became the Roaring 20s. Is that what they called it at the time? I don't know. So there's this block of time framed by who's involved and these events. And Jesus says, I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. But you know, when he uses that term, the Bible uses it differently. The Bible uses the term eon in Greek, or age, differently. It depends on if you're talking about God or somebody else. Well, what do I mean by that? In the Bible, when he talks about God, for instance, we're going to look at Romans chapter 16 just briefly. At the end of his letter, Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept a secret for all the ages past. And by that, that's not an eon, that's a chronos. I knew you were going to check me. Some of you are going to go home and look that up. But now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the eternal God. Now, eternal is the word eon. So instead of translating it age, when it's connected with God, they just say eons and eons. It's a plural. They just go eons and eons. Now the commandment of the eon and eon God, the one who is always there, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience to faith, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, be the glory for eons and eons. So when that word shows up, and it's talking about God, it's talking about eternal things and good things. Yeah. You can go back and read that, Romans 16. But anytime it uses that word with God, and they're saying the age of God, they're talking about something that just defies definition and time. It's beyond eons and eons, and it's good. What God does with His time, and in His space, and in His epoch is good. That's God. But things change a little bit when you put in the word world in your notes there. The word world, when you talk about eons, we'll go back to Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And if you look it up, that word world is eon. Don't be conformed to this block of time and this space and these influential people, this age. Don't be conformed to this age. So, what's interesting to me is that when you put world in there and that age, it's almost always talking about something that's temporary and evil. Always. So in the Bible, you know, sometimes it uses the word world and just talking about creation. But oftentimes it's talking about this age, this time, this group of people that we live with, that we are also a part of. It's temporary and evil. So the meaning of an age. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What does he mean by that? What does he mean? First off, he means this age is temporary. To the end of the age. Did you hear that? This age is coming to an end. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of this epoch. You know, I had no idea as we left Rifle and headed on, as I'm thinking this all through, that we were coming to the end of an age as a family. The word eon in the Bible is oftentimes translated also generation, the end of this generation, the end of this group of people. So that, you know, when we arrived and then the next day my mother-in-law died, it's in operation, and then it's like, oh. But earlier in the day, on the 21st of December, got the call from the Shives that Charlotte had died. And so the idea is that in one day I'm thinking this through, and you know, this age is temporary. Now, that's not mysterious to you, is it? It might be mysterious to some who are younger, over in high school or whatever. It's like they just think that this age goes on and on and on and on. So in personal lives, we think, well, this age is temporary. Well, of course it is. We try to avoid it as long as we can. We push it away as long as we can. We pretend like it's not happening as long as we can. But we know it's temporary. But in our culture, we have a little bit of a different idea. This age is temporary. Jesus isn't talking about your age, your generation. He's talking about something bigger than that. And even as we talk about something bigger than that, somehow we as humans think that we can control the age. Have you noticed that? I'm not sure when this started. Maybe it's been this way all along. I'm going to step into a political thing. Is that okay? We're talking religion and politics all in the same day, and science. And I want you to know, I'm not going to argue this. I just want to point something out. As we talk about what's in nearly every day's newspaper, something about climate change. I was having this discussion with some family members and so forth, and we got to do this. I just want you to think about one thing in my conversation with my family. I said, you know what? I think we need to take care of the earth. I think just like you need to clean your room, vacuum the carpet once in a while. You know, you need to take care of what you've been put in charge of, and just to trash it is stupid. But that's because I believe that God made it. And I answer to Him. But, so, you know, in the conversations, you know, mankind has got to get their act together or we're going to destroy the world. Well, yeah, we should take care of it, but could we really bring an end to an age without God saying something? Is God wringing His hands, going, oh my gosh, they better clean it up? Now let's be careful. We do the same thing religiously. For instance, in Matthew 24, it talks about how the gospel is going to go out and Jesus isn't going to come back until all nations have heard. And so a lot of what goes on in pushing for missions now is we need to get to every unreached people group so that Jesus can come back. Think about it. Can we really push God's agenda and timing? Okay, God, there's 40 unreached people groups on Sumatra that you saw in Southeast Asia just a few minutes ago. And we're keeping track. Why? Because He told us to go. But if you think that when He's waiting until that last one and we can push this agenda, and once we've reached everyone, then He is obligated to finish the age, you're wrong. This age is temporary, whether it's your age, my age, or this age that He's talking about. When He says until the end of the age, as He voices it, He's saying, I am in charge of this age. No science, no theology, no practical. You're not going to push His agenda. It changes the way you think. I hope you're catching on to what I'm trying to say. The whole idea is that we're in this block of time that God has determined. But there is a coming age. Well, you know that. You know that. When you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the few verses just before that, the disciples say, Lord, is now the time when you're going to come in your kingdom? The kingdom is going to start? Have we got this new age started? And Jesus said, no, it's not for you to know. And then He ascends into heaven, for crying out loud. I mean, He goes up into the clouds, and they're standing there staring at the clouds going, wait a minute. We thought that you were going to do, and then the angels show up, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way. If you're filling in that big long blank, that's it. He'll come in just the same way as you've watched Him go. He's coming back. Well, now what do you do? There's this coming age. You know, it's interesting to me how much time and effort has been put into figuring out when that is and what He's going to do when it comes and how He's going to function. I'm not saying it shouldn't be discussed and read, but when He said to the disciples, it's not for you to know, It's for me to know, he's saying. It's for the Father to know that the Father has set the time for the end of this age, but it is coming. So what do? I like this next verse. So then they returned to Jerusalem. I guess we ought to get on with it. They weren't the first ones to think that way. When you read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, but 1 Thessalonians in particular, it seems like in the early days, there were all these people who were just sure that either Jesus had already come back or he was coming back next week, so they quit their jobs, sat around, and let everybody else take care of them. And Paul said, if you don't eat, if you don't work. That's where that verse comes from. He says, get out and find yourself a job. It's not for you to know when that coming age is. And in the meantime, there's something you need to do. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Cedar Edge. Get on with it. Get on with what I told you to do. However, what we need to see is that the future age has broken into this age. What do I mean by that? This is really important because the church, if I can use this phrase, the church on the left has forgotten this. The church on the right has forgotten this. What do I mean by that? Do you remember back with the Christian message? Maybe should have been the Christmas message. The God who made the world has invaded this space. But what's the next phrase? I am with you always. Now, in a sense, he left. But he said to his disciples, if I don't leave, I can't send you the Spirit. You're not going to catch on to what's changed in this age. Didn't know you were coming to a philosophy discussion, did you? I see the eyes glazing over going, I hope this has a point. It does. You have to wait till the end. When he says, I'm with you always, he's about ready to leave. Isn't he? I mean, when you get to Acts chapter 1, and he says, no, it's not happening now, see ya, and they say, well, he's coming back, and they go, whoa, wait, what's all this about? And later on in Acts, you find that the gift of the Spirit, and something has changed in this age. The future age has broken into this age. And that changes everything. Now, in your blanks there, I've mentioned this term several times, the parenthesis. You know what I mean? Maybe bracket would be better. I don't know. But there's something way back here and there's something way up here that you need to pay attention to because everything in the middle is affected by that. It's kind of like algebra, you know? I learned that in algebra. I did learn something in algebra. Do everything in the brackets or in the parentheses, and then do what's on the outside, because if you mess it up, then you remember, your math goes all bad. That's why I went into preaching, I think, because my math went all bad. We were kind of having fun at our South Dakota retreat in our house, and it was kind of fun because we were playing games. The trouble is all these games meant you had to count, you know, keeping score. And as you're keeping score with your games, you're going along. And all of us, my family, our family, we have musicians and actors and actresses and all that kind of stuff. But on the other side of the family, we have engineers who know how to count. And so there was a conflict of cultures as the engineers met the artist and said, that's not your score. Come on. The parenthesis, what's on the outside affects what's on the inside. He says, I'm with you always. Do you remember the first part? It's all the way back in August. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everything in between is affected by the fact that the future age has broken into this age. The kingdom of heaven has come. He's invaded. Something's changed. The age, the eon of eons of God has invaded the age. The temporary evil has been invaded by the eternal good, and nothing will stay the same. That's what he's saying. I'm with you always. Where are you going? Don't worry. The Spirit's coming. It's broken into. And that changes the way you live. Let me explain, if I can. You live as though all three ages were true. Wait a minute. Weren't we just talking about two? No, three. Three. All three. There's the age of God, the eternal, perfect, good. There is the age of the world that's just for a time, and it's temporary and corrupted. Something's wrong. And then there's the age where the eternal has invaded in a very real way this age. And it changes the way you live. This is the way Paul said it in one place. Two places. If you were to look at Galatians chapter 5 or if you were to look at Romans 8, he says it this way twice. He says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? It means that we in this age are learning to walk with the eternal God in our lives, in what we do. That changes the way I talk to my wife. Changes the way I talk to my kids. It changes the way I work with my neighbors. It changes the way I handle my money. You see, the problem with just two ages, and this is the church on the right, this is us, many times, is we just get people saved and everything's fine until they go to heaven. That totally denies the reality that God has invaded this space. And this age is the time when we experience and live a life that is changed by the eternal reality and truth of God. And that changes everything you do. And if it doesn't, you don't get it. You've missed it. You thought, all I wanted was a way to get to heaven. Well, that's good. I hope you got that. I think you do. But if that's all you got, then you're kind of missing the point. Let's see. Paul says it a different way in Philippians chapter 3. He says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. What does that mean? How can a believer be an enemy of the cross of Christ? Does that mean they're not saved? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying they've missed the point of what the invasion meant. Because the next phrase is, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite. They're just going down. Maybe they're not saved. Their end is destruction. Whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. What does that mean? It means that they're still living in this age of temporary evil, what fills my belly, what makes me happy, what this glory is. Glory means everything that they stand for is shameful. But they're saying, oh, it's okay, I'm going to heaven. He said, whoa, you have denied the cross and the resurrection and the invasion. The invasion has come, and that changes everything. All three ages, this age in which we live, don't pretend like it's not here. He never told us to become monks and go live up in the hills and ignore this age as much as we would like to sometimes. I do. Do you? Paul said it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, I'm not at all telling you to leave the world, because if you leave the world, they can't be changed. I'm not saying that. 1 Corinthians 5, read it. But the Corinthians were also saying, hey, eat, drink, and be merry, because we live in this age. And Paul said, do you not understand, 1 Corinthians 6, the kingdom of God means the eternal has invaded the temporary, and that changes you. For our citizenship is in heaven. Oh, but I live in Cedar Edge. Yes. And my license plate says Colorado. Yes. And my passport says U.S. citizen. Yes. And that's all true. That's this age. I live in this age. But my citizenship is in heaven. But I'm not waiting till I get there to live like a citizen. I'm a citizen of that age, in this age, so I act like it. That's different. You know, somebody said, I think it was you, Nick, we are like colonies of heaven in this age, in this space, in this time. That's awesome. Is it not that God has invaded and put us here, and the way we react to one another, the way we talk to one another, the way we do business, you know, the way we talk to people in Cedar Edge, the way we share our life, we are representatives, citizens of God in heaven, here, now. That's part of the Christian message. So that by the exertion of, there at the bottom, the power that he has even to subject all things to himself, that's what he's doing in this age now. Now, Jesus said, till the end of the age. What he meant was, there's an end date. This is all going to be wrapped up. He's going to finish it. It's going to stop. And then we look at him, and he says, okay, whole new time. And in the meantime, he is bringing everything into the shape we were supposed to be, a reflection of his glory, a citizen of heaven. It's what we're here for. You see, the Christian message is that God has invaded his creation. That's the Christmas message. He's invaded his creation to buy back what belongs to him, but he is coming back to finish his plan. That's the end of the age. In the meantime, this third age, those who believe this live like it's true. That changes everything. It changes everything. How do I live? How do you live? As a citizen of heaven? Or as a citizen of Cedar Edge? Yes, both. Both in this present age, knowing full well that when he's finished what he intended, he's coming back. Can pretty much assure you that it's not going to be when you thought. You know, there's some churches, won't name names, it's kind of interesting to me. Part of their whole agenda was that Jesus is coming back, and this was in the 1800s, and they set a date. Lo and behold, he didn't. I don't think. Pretty sure. And so they reorganized and said, okay, well, they kept their name and said, okay, he's coming back at that date. Well, he didn't. So now they've totally reorganized and they have a date in the future that he's coming back. I can promise you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he's not coming back on that day or any other day that I choose. But I live knowing that the age comes, maybe for me, positively for us, but it's his job, it's his business, and he'll wrap it up in his time. And I live that way, looking forward to what he's doing in me, in you. 2018, a whole new age, maybe, for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have this promise, this reality and knowledge that you are at work, that you haven't stopped just because you ascended, but you sent your Spirit, and you are accomplishing what you will. May we live this year as though that's true, with our calendars, with our checkbooks, with our conversations, with our friends, with our everything. May we live as though all three were true. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.